This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to Dig on America, where we speak truth to power. Every week, we give you the dig on how American history, policies, and media created the social and political issues we face today. DOA is independent media supported by listeners, but they'll tell you we're just fake news, deep state propaganda, funded by George Soros, the Clinton Foundation, BLM Marxists, and...
Alfred Fonzarelli.
I got it.
You nailed
win.
It?
I win.
You won.
I'm just going to let you know that I win this week. I win. Chuck Norris. You can't. It's impossible to beat Chuck Norris.
Unless I play my Bruce Lee card. Hello.
There are some great Bruce, Chuck Norris memes. There was one day when we have nothing to do, like on Thanksgiving or something.
Oh, I'll be sick that day. I'm so sick of Chuck Norris. His damn Bowflex.
Chuck Norris.
Thanks to the Total Gym, I can be a flaming bigot and keep in shape without ever having to go to the gym. Use my own body weight to tone my racist muscles. You let me down, Chuck Norris.
His karate kicks are bigoted now. Hey, everybody. Welcome into Dig on America. This is Jason Dutch. I am here with...
Bah.
Oh, you switched on me. You went that way. Mikey Famine, Michelangelo Famine. What's up, man?
Howdy, partners.
I like your new side view that you have going on.
You see the aesthetic I'm going for, yeah. Where I got the bit of the... I mean, this is a bad picture.
You look larger. Yeah, he used to look very tiny, you know, like kids in the hall.
Don't say it like that.
Where you crush your head. But he is here. I am here. Big Hoss will probably be joining us whenever he feels like it.
Job. Boss moves.
But with us today of two guests, and we're going to get right to the show. Before we do that, though, real quick, this is National Autism Awareness Month. So
that doesn't count for the competition.
Find an autistic person and understand them. So as a parent of an autistic kid, I can tell you, if you see an autistic kid's parent, other than me, shake their hand because they go through a lot of shit.
Yes. Sometimes literally.
Remarkable amounts. Yes. Literal is yes. Remarkable amounts of, you know,
there we go.
Just trial. So, but they're not, you know, don't use the R word. They just learn differently.
You want to talk about me going from 0 to 100 real quick. Mm-hmm. When someone tries to just casually slip an R word past me and then they get like the, the fuck is wrong. And I will make the biggest scene. It's not that big of a deal.
The funny thing is like, you'll get in trouble for saying the F word and they'll be all right.
Right.
Anyway, so we have two great guests with us today.
Anyway,
what we will do is, so for the first, 45 minutes or so of the show, we're going to focus on the candidate. We will introduce this candidate in a second, but in the interest of making my editing easier, I'm going to introduce our new aspiring legal analyst to the show. Anna, we'll call her Attorney Anna, not Anna, mind you. Anna, yeah. Welcome to the show, Anna. It's been nice talking to you on Twitter, and we're super happy to have you on the show.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Oh, awesome. No, you met him on Twitter. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. We apologize as a podcast for all the stuff he's been saying on Twitter.
Yeah. I met her on Twitter, not on Plenty of Fish or some other weird website. See? Okay.
There it is.
I'm happily married. Please.
You know, oh, yeah. She can't get enough of you, huh? Oh, we have, you know, we spend all our Patreon money on sticks to beat the women off of Dutch. They just so many. There's such a line.
Actually, the wife was kind of mean to me today. So, you know, your numbers. All right, but thank you for not on the show, Anna. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to getting to some legal speak with the SCOTUS confirmations and hearings that are going on right now. But for the moment, we will focus on another candidate interview. And with us today, we have our third. We don't do state level candidates often, but Secretary of State we like because voting is fucking important.
Very important.
Welcome to the show, Josh Price, running for Secretary of State in Arkansas, Arkansas, the home of our.
Don't say that to them. That is rude. That's their N-word, Dutch. Hey, you can't
Kansas
say that.
Won the national championship. Arkansas, they just only were next to them.
That's their word, Dutch. Only they can say it.
No, I'm going to give you a history lesson on why it's Arkansas and not Arkansas.
Okay.
I know it is.
So Arkansas was a French colony. So Arkansas, S-A-S, it's French on the end. So there are Native Americans here that were the Arkansas Indians with a W, but when it was translated into French, it was Arkansas, S-A-S. And then Arkansas became part of the United States with the Louisiana Purchase. So there you go.
Yep. Which you never put up your half for, Dutch.
No, but we're waiting for the Patreon money. So if anyone wants to donate to that.
Yeah, so we can help pay off our Louisiana purchase debts.
Yes. we're going to wipe that out along with the student loans. But by the way, Arkansas, too close also home of one of our favorite daughters of this show.
We are
responsible. I'm taking her no credit and giving Mikey, I, and Big House all of the credit for launching the amazing career of one Natalie James. So,
who's Natalie James?
Who's Natalie James? Natalie, see, this is what happens when your host doesn't pay attention. I talk to Natalie all the time, though, in Mikey's defense. Mikey doesn't go on Twitter. Natalie is
this is a show?
The two women for Senate.
Okay.
And you had Jillian and Natalie James.
Let me go back and look. Because we have two women on literally 10 times.
Yes.
You're like, you know, the one named Natalie. Are you kidding me right now? I don't know. I don't remember. They never follow me. They only follow you on Twitter. They don't talk to me.
Guys,
they only want to talk to
Dutch. This is what happens when you do 14 freaking podcasts a week. Okay.
Today is Thursday, right?
Yeah. This guy does too many podcasts. But Natalie, despite the fact that Mikey is completely just terrible person can't separate her from the night. If I had made that mistake, I would be paying for it for years. But anyway,
that's because you never say you're wrong. I always say I'm wrong, and then I happen to be right. It's a surprise when I'm right. Everyone's happy.
So what we'll do here is we'll get started with Josh. To take a sip of my vibrations.
Vodka. No way,
Josh. Real quick, if you will. Quick elevator pitch on yourself and why you are running for office.
All right. And I just saw Natalie James today. She's a good friend. We actually were at a candidate forum in Hot Springs Village. But my name is Josh Price. I am running for Arkansas Secretary of State to protect our constitutional right to vote. So sadly, Arkansas is dead last in the country in voter registration at 63%. Dead last in voter turnout at 54%, and number one in rejection of absentee ballots at 6.4%. And there's actually only three states that have a 3% or higher absentee ballot rate, and Arkansas is number one. Most states, it's actually 1% or less. So Arkansas is literally the worst state in the country for a voter experience. Whether you vote in person or via mail, you're probably not going to have the best experience here in Arkansas. And I'm running for Secretary of State because I served as an election commissioner in Pulaski County, which is our most populous county in Arkansas. It's about 13% of the population. And during that time, I oversaw 120 polling locations, about 1,000 poll workers. I wrote our COVID-19 protocols, and it was a wild ride, y'all. So there's two Republicans on the commission and one Democrat. So even though Pulaski County is a blue county, it's actually our only blue county in Arkansas. our island of blue in the sea of red, we have two Republican commissioners and one Democrat. So they were using the election commission is one of the, I think it's actually the only government body where Republicans have a majority, and they were using it as their arm to basically influence the outcome of elections. And they could outvote me 2-1. And I was like the lone Democrat trying to like hold back the red tide.
Right.
And, they threw out 1,500 ballots in Pulaski County alone. So you think about how many elections are decided. I mean, we had elections decided by 16 votes, 24 votes, and they threw out 1,500 for the following reasons. I missed the zip code, but all the other information was correct. ID is in there, everything. Missed the apartment number. They're at an assisted living facility, the voter, and they forget to put their room number. Folks signed Jay Price instead of Josh Price. They threw that out too.
Wow.
The straw that broke the camel's back for me, we had an 85-year-old woman. And y'all remember, this is in the midst of the pandemic, like no vaccines are out yet or anything.
Right.
85-year-old woman who sends in her absentee ballot, and she's got a note from her doctor explaining that she just had a stroke and her right hand is shaky. She has a letter from her husband explaining it. Both letters are notarized.
Wow.
Republicans threw out her ballot. They said, well, her signature doesn't match. Sorry. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, this is someone's grandmother. You know what I mean? That's just not cool. I mean, that's, she's already had a stroke and is trying to vote during COVID, and you're going to throw out her ballot. So all that stuff just really, really bothered. But to be honest with you, it ticked me off pretty badly. And then we had our legislative session last year, and it was just voter suppression bill after voter suppression bill just kind of coming down the pipeline. They passed a bill where you can't give water snacks to people waiting in line, the Good Samaritan, you know, laws. They shortened early voting. They shortened or they tried to short early voting. That's one of the ones I got killed in committee. They shortened the time period for you to turn in your absentee ballot. They made a new law that when you sign your absentee ballot, your signature now has to match your signature when you originally registered to vote, which could have been when you were 18. So, I mean, I'm 42. My signature looks nothing like it did when I was 18. So that's crazy. And I mean, it's just they're just trying to make it harder for people to vote. And then I'm traveling across the state now, and I've been to 48 out of 75 counties. And in some rural counties, they're closing down 75% of polling locations. I kid you not. I was in a county called
In the rural counties?
Yes, I was in a county called Van County. They had 21 polling locations for the county. The county's about 16,000 people. They had 21 polling locations. Now they have four for the whole county. And some folks have to drive, this, I kid you not, 35 miles one way to vote. 35 miles, wait in line for a couple hours, 35 miles back. I mean, that's crazy. That's voter suppression. If that's not voter suppression, I don't know what is. So now you're closing down polling locations. You're making people drive 30, 40 miles. You're throwing out votes because someone, you know, didn't put their middle name in there or like forgot their zip code. I mean, they're doing everything in their power to stop people from voting because Arkansas really is not a red state. It's a non-voting state. You know, 1.2 million Arkansans voted in the last election. 1.1 million did not. And Republicans know that even a quarter of those people get activated.
It's no good.
I mean, anybody can win. I mean, Democrats can win on the ballot from Natalie to myself, anybody. The last person who ran for Secretary of State lost by 160,000 votes, and you've got 1.1 million people not voting. So,
the math checks out, Dutch.
She says,
So I'm ready for
this. Natalie says that all the time. She says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there.
You got a little bit of a lag.
I have a lag? Oh
yes,
I almost shouldn't. I should never have a lag.
But you lagging, son.
Natalie says all the time that you know, Arkansas is not a blue, a red state. It's a non-voting state.
Yep.
You know, and it's what you just said there kind of echoes that. So
it's so hard for people to vote. I mean, people just give up. You know,
right?
I mean, think about it, if you don't. I mean, take the rural voting location example. What if you're a senior or you've got a disability? Or, you know, you're working, you don't have reliable transportation. I mean, I don't want to drive 30 miles to vote. That's crazy. Like, that's too far. I mean, you know, people are busy. And if you make it so hard for people to vote and inconvenient, especially, you know, young people, they're just going to say, never mind. It's not even worth my time. And then that's exactly what the politicians want. I mean, I hate to say this, and I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I've seen you know, serving in this position, I've seen behind the curtain. I've seen how the sausage is made. I mean, I was elected to two terms as an election commissioner, and the fewer people vote, the easier it is to predict and kind of manipulate the outcome of an election. I mean, there's fewer factors. Think about it, if you have 4 to 7% of people coming out to vote, you could kind of figure out how to finagle who you want to win. But if 90% of the people come out to vote, well, then you can't control that. It's going to be, you know, let the cards fall where they may. So that's what they're doing. They're manipulating the rules of the game and changing them as they go and making it harder for people to vote so that the people in power can stay in power. And I'm not caught up with it. I'm telling y'all, I'm really not. I mean, my mom is an immigrant from the Philippines. She came to this country in 1975. During that time, their president, Marcos, was a dictator. He didn't want to leave. He declared martial law. She said she didn't see a newspaper for 3 years. There was a 9 o'clock curfew. You could get shot in the street. You get shot in the street if you were out past nine because they figured you were up to no good. So she saw a flyer on the wall. We're looking for nurses in rural America. And she took that chance and she ended up in Murfreesboro, Arkansas. And, I'll tell you this. I'll tell your listeners too. My mom, I love my mom. My mom is like my Shiro. She's the strongest person I've ever met. But she came to this country alone at age 24 because she didn't have the right to vote. She didn't have the freedom of speech, and she wanted her future kids to have that. And she's got early dementia, and she's been through a lot. She actually got COVID, and then she got pneumonia, and then she had a series of small strokes because she wasn't getting enough oxygen to her brain. And she's doing better now. She's on the mend. But when she saw the January 6th insurrection and she saw me on TV fighting against these voter suppression bills at the Capitol, she kind of had a moment of clarity and she looked at me and she said, "Josh, I saw the same thing happen in the Philippines and I never thought I'd see it happen here."
Wow.
And that was like, a punch to my chest, you know? And I made her promise. I said, "Mom, I'm going to fight to make sure that doesn't happen here." I said, "For you and all the people of Arkansas." And I intend to keep that promise no matter what.
That's profound.
Thank you.
Okay. So
I have no jokes to add at this time.
No, but we will, but we will add jokes because we always introduce.
I'm warm and fuzzy now.
Yeah. And then we move to the first game. We'll play this game with Anna later. Here we go. So Anna, you get to participate in this. We're going to start out by calling an audible.
Oh, Lord.
And we're going to play a game with you called Four Down Territory. We're going to ask you four questions. You will give us four answers. These are non-political questions. So answer as you wish, you know, 10, 20, 30 second answer is great, or one word. We don't care. So with that, 15, 19 NFL seasons, off season's been crazy this year. Said Hood. Okay. So Josh,
I'm ready.
You are trapped on a desert island.
No.
And you have a DVD player. You have a DVD player. You can only bring two DVDs with you. What are they?
Can he swim? Swim away.
All right. Can I ask a question? Can it be like the Lord of the Rings trilogy DVD? Does that count?
If you can get them on one DVD, which you probably can these days, then yeah.
Come on. Give them a box set. Come on.
Listen. You bring that. By the time you're done with it, you'll have died anyway.
you'll never finish it.
I'm going to change my answer. So my favorite childhood movie, I'll bring Neverending Story. And then I'm going to bring Aliens, the second one.
Oh, good call.
Like, you know, like where Sigourney Weaver was just like killing all the aliens. And yeah.
Okay.
A little nostalgia and then a little butt kicking.
I had no idea Alien was kind of like space horror when I watched it for the first time. So I invited a girl over to watch it. It was terrifying. That movie puts chills, literal chills in your body. I don't know why I thought, but I did that with Little Shop of Horrors too. I thought that was a scary movie. I'm like, man, they sure are singing a lot. It's like, oh, I didn't know you like musicals.
It says horror in the title, but
must be more.
Yeah, feed me, Seymour. I was like, all right, this is weird. Want to make out? Cool. I have a very good question.
Oh, pat yourself on the back.
I have to, because no one else will. In the middle of the night, you need a snack.
in the middle of night.
And you need a little snack, need a little snack.
I go down to the fridge and I open it up. There's a lot of food sitting there. Oh my God. What do I pick?
What's your middle of the night? I just need a little something snack.
You know, it's going to be whatever's sweet. And I think I've got some apple pie in the fridge, so it'd probably be a slice of apple pie.
Do you get a plate?
Yeah, I get a small plate.
Oh, you got to eat it right out of there.
Nah, man, you got to be covert with it, you know?
You don't want to make no dishes.
But the rule is you can't have pie in the first place. That's why you just sneak it into your hand and eat it like a criminal.
I like the aesthetics, the little just seeing that little triangle on that plate. It's like, that's all I need.
We have triangle plates for pizza and pie.
Wow.
They never get used.
Well, aren't you fancy?
They never get used.
All righty. So two good answers. Anna.
Yes.
You get to ask them a question. Yeah.
You get them. So, you know.
Oh, I get to ask a question?
Yep. Uh-huh. You get to ask a question.
Okay.
Icebreaker.
Let me, I actually saw a good question in the comments, which is favorite grilled cheese topping. And I like the question because I've never thought to top my grilled cheeses. So I will put that question to you, Josh.
That question on this show, unfortunately, is a recurring theme that won't go away.
I would like to hear the answer. Like, what are people answering?
We'll let him give his answer, then we'll illuminate. Well,
I saw this on Food Network, and I tried it, and it was really good. But when I made a grilled cheese and I put the butter on the outside, I put Parmesan cheese on it. Not the powder kind, but like the shredded kind.
Yes.
And then grilled it, and it was delicious.
Yes.
So I have to say Parmesan cheese.
You need to patent that real quick, though, because here's the context.
Here's the context.
Speaking from the center in the chat, Tim Bristol, who subbed for me last week, thank you so much for subbing for me at the last minute when I had
care of the Ben
my autistic son had a bit of an episode. Mm-hmm. Tim stepped in, but Tim is the grilled cheese king of Connecticut.
That is true.
And that is a true story. So he owns a grilled cheese food truck. And you need to, Josh, what you need to do now is gourmet.
Gourmet grilled cheese.
Yes, but that
I can patent it. It was on Food Network. I feel like someone else already did.
Nah, you can just steal it. When he steals that, you got just sue him.
This from speaking from the center.
Someone already does
yes,
it.
I already do it. It's called the Extreme Melt.
Yeah, it's delicious. And then you dip that sucker in some tomato soup.
Oh.
He retconned the tomato one to be that one now. Tim, no one believes you. Anyway, thief. All right. Well, let's just.
We got a fourth question. I have one. If you're not ready.
Yeah, I was having a trouble thinking of one. So go ahead.
You said your mom is from the Philippines?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Filipino dish? I'm all about food, if you haven't noticed.
Oh, my gosh. So, I've got two. So the lumpia is the egg rolls, the skinny egg rolls you may have had. If you have a Filipino friend and you've ever been to their house, you've had lumpia.
I've been dumped by Filipino women several times.
They're very...
So you should know.
Twice this week.
And then for dessert, I love bibinca. It's kind of like a coconutty dessert. It's a cake, and it's wrapped in banana leaves and steamed.
So, how would you spell that? How do you spell that?
B-I-B-I-N-K-A? No, B-I-B-I-N-G. I'm sorry, K-A.
Yep, there it is. I'll do a little research into this.
So the skinny egg rolls, I've had those. You're right. I've had them
delicious.
Many times at a Filipino friend's house. I never knew what they – I thought they were called egg rolls. What were they called again?
Lumpia.
Lumpia.
Lumpia is how you say it. L-U-M-P-I-A. Lumpia.
Why? So let me ask
Salama.
You.
Salama.
Ketchup, a little hot chili sauce.
Question. I got to make myself big screen here for 1 second here, Dutch. I've already yelled at the Mexicans. I've already yelled at the Irish. Filipinos, y'all need to stop hiding stuff in your culture that you don't share with people. You got to let me know about things. Like, I gave y'all hip hop. Like, I didn't hold that back. Everybody got that. But then it's always like, oh, yeah, Babinka. I don't know what this is, and apparently it's the hottest thing going on the streets. And y'all didn't tell us. That's not okay. Yeah. That's not okay. You can't do that.
Yeah, you know what else Filipinos came up with?
I'm listening.
Karaoke.
No.
Oh, really?
The first karaoke machine was developed in Japan, but the patent is held by a Filipino who originally came up with it. That's why Filipinos always sing karaoke. I grew up with a karaoke machine in my house. I've been singing karaoke since I was five.
You can say that. I can't, because I'm not going to stereotype land.
My girlfriends had karaoke machines, I bet.
Hello, baby. Yeah, get the passports out of the safe and meet me downstairs in about 2 hours. Okay. No questions. Right. Thank you.
Bring napkins.
Because we're going to go fucking sing karaoke and have babinka. It's going to be awesome.
All right. So another great
segment.
My God. Fort on territory. All right. So Josh, let's spend about, I know we got you for a limited amount of time. So now you are welcome to stay for the whole show, but you know, obviously we will focus on you for the first bit here. So we got about 10, 15 more minutes in that segment. Voter suppression and for a lot of people, and Anna, if you'd like to have a question, by all means, please do. Sure. So voter suppression, what people I think a lot do, and this should be real basic ground level stuff for anybody who pays attention to politics, but there might be someone who's seeing this because it's going to have voter suppression in the taglines, right, on YouTube and Twitch, that they'll be like, oh, well, you know, that's the same thing as Trump's complaining of. Can you explain for the people very quickly the difference between voter suppression and voter fraud?
Yeah, absolutely. So voter fraud, despite the current narrative, is extremely rare. So in Arkansas, there have been 3 cases of official voter fraud in the last 22 years. And you're talking about every state, every local, every national election, just 3 cases in 22 years. So, I mean, the odds of voter fraud, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. But voter fraud would be when somebody that's not supposed to vote is voting. You know, so, like you hear about like a dead person voting, or like, you know, somebody that's not a citizen voting, or someone voting twice. It really doesn't happen, to be honest.
Can you repeat that? How many cases in 22 years?
3.
How many people live in America?
Oh, this is just in Arkansas.
How many people live in Arkansas?
3 million.
So it's literally 1 in a million, guys.
At less, yeah.
You can get a scratcher ticket. Better odds.
Yeah. But voter suppression is any obstacle that's making it harder for someone to exercise their American right to vote. So you're 18, you're a citizen, you want to vote, but you got to jump through all these hoops, or you got to drive to another city, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. And it's so inconvenient for you. I mean, think about like back in the day with like the literacy tests and the poll taxes. You know, now, you know, the Constitution doesn't say you can vote if you're a citizen, you're 18, and you have a car.
Right.
You know,
gas money.
It doesn't say that. I mean, and you know, we could get into the whole photo ID controversy if you want, but people didn't have photo IDs back in the day. I mean, they didn't have cameras, so you weren't going up to vote with like a painted portrait of yourself.
That is such a beautiful analogy, because the forefathers in their infinite wisdom didn't demand a photo ID, did they?
You're 18. I mean, these are just ways, these are tactics and strategies to stop people from voting. And
correct.
What sucks about it is that, you know, Republicans, they think that these are targeted missiles and they could target Democrats or different communities, but they're really nuclear bombs. They're hurting everybody. You know, you think about all these rural voters, they're probably voting Republican. But, you know, grandma Republican is not going to jump in the pickup truck and drive 30 miles with a wheelchair to go vote. I mean, it's not going to happen. And then if she fills out an absentee ballot, they're going to toss it out because she's got arthritis. So it's really a breakdown of our democracy, because, I mean, at the end of the day, if we don't have the right to vote and choose the representatives that are going to, you know, stand out up for us in our communities and issues we care about, then we really don't have anything. We don't have a democracy. That's the whole point. I mean, the power of the vote is that you could vote Democrat or Republican or Green or Libertarian, whatever you want to do. But you take away that right, you're taking away people's voices. And that's just wrong. That's not what our country was built on. We're not a monarchy. We're not a dictatorship. You know, we have the right to choose the people that are going to represent us.
And to add to that a little bit, I recall reading that the more people that vote, the more likely it is that there will be more Democratic voters. So a lot of times government entities and a lot of the regulations that Josh just talked about are run by the state. So it's not like you can take these issues. Certain issues, it's not like you can just take them all to the Supreme Court, because federalism allows the states to kind of do what they will with their own electoral system. So when you put these measures in place, you can kind of, if you can limit the amount of people that are voting, then like Josh just described, you can kind of target certain audiences and certain parts of the electorate to prevent them from voting. Maybe you don't want elderly people voting. Maybe you don't want people of a certain socioeconomic status voting. Maybe you have a lot of people of color in one area. Maybe you don't want those folks voting. And if you can put those type of policies in place, and they're codified by the law, like once the government, the local governments and state governments puts in those regulations, then it's kind of, you know, it just, the chips fall where they will. And it's always, almost always slanted towards Republicans.
Well, Anna, I'm glad you brought that up. And I will say this, in these counties where they're closing down all these polling locations, you know, like 21 down to 4, there was a Yell County at 25, they're down to 11. I'll tell you right now, they're not closing polling locations in upper class white neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. What?
Just saying, they're not.
What are they citing as the reason? Are they saying they can't find staffers, or like, they always have some BS reason?
They're saving money. You know, except Arkansas has a $1 billion surplus right now, and polling locations actually operate on a volunteer basis and free of charge. So, I mean, staff, you know, you do pay them, but it's minimum wage. But there's actually a new law in Arkansas where you could be a volunteer poll worker if you need like volunteer hours for, you know, your school or organization. You could do that. So I feel like the idea of like its cost is kind of BS, because the location is free. And then the staff could even be free if you recruit them right. So
did they ask for money and get told no? Or did they just say, well, that would just be too much money? Did you even ask to see if you could get more money?
It's just, it's just, you know, we just want to save more money.
Oh,
get reimbursed by the state. So it's really no cost to the counties to run. Yeah.
So real quick question. Secretary of State is an interesting office because it varies state to state.
Right.
Other than voting, what like, are you going to run like the DMV or anything like that in your state? What else do you cover in Secretary of State?
Right. So for in Arkansas, it's the chief election officer. So it's mostly elections, election records, voter registration. They also support and maintain the voter registration database and serve as the chair of the Arkansas State Board of Election Commissioners. And of course, policies, trainings, all that good stuff. But the secondary role is that every small business and nonprofit has to register with the Secretary of State's office. I've got a few ideas on that front, how to make things better. My day job, because election commissioners are a thankless, unpaid position. But my day job, I was a public information officer for the state of Arkansas for the U.S. Small Business Administration. PPP, economic injury, disaster loans, all that good stuff. I was the one emailing everybody, letting them know that was available. And we helped about 62,000 businesses in Arkansas. But one gap I noticed is that people who own a small business or a nonprofit are going to automatically go to the Secretary of State's website because that's where they registered, right? Well, there were no resources on there, and there were no even links like, hey, small business that's suffering during the pandemic, you could go to SBA.gov and apply for money. And I tried to reach out to them because I was the PIO and say, hey, can you put this on your website or can you send out an e-blast? Like, I even wrote the email. I'm like, here's all the links for PPP and IDLE and women.
I did the work for you.
like you literally just have to copy paste. Yeah, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. In fact,
I can't remember.
I put them on blast. I reached out to their office and I said, hey, we're trying to set our budget at the SBA for Arkansas. Can I get an annual report from y'all? And they're like, we don't publish an annual report. And I was like, to what? But they require every nonprofit to publish an annual report, but they don't publish an annual report. And they said, well, what do you need exactly? I said, demographic information, like how many small businesses total are in the state? How many are women-owned, minority-owned, you know, rural, senior, veteran, LGBTQ? Because there's all these pots of federal money for all these things. And they're like, we don't track that. what? Doesn't need help. How do you know? Like, there's federal money for these folks. Yeah, they should be collecting this data. So that's something I want to change too. I mean, this is not a heavy lift. Hey, I filed for a new nonprofit or small business. Please check all that apply. I'm a woman. You know, I'm Asian or Hispanic or Black, or I'm a senior, or I'm veteran or disabled, whatever. And then you get an email saying, hey, you may qualify for these loans or grants. Check it out. Here's a link. I mean, this isn't a heavy lift. The resource is already out there. It's just it's like customer service, you know. So that's the secondary part of the job. And then the third part is they also oversee the Capitol grounds and as well as the Capitol Police. And
So you'll be responsible when I see now. Okay,
you wait for the July 6th insurrection.
Arkansas is one of only, I think, like two or three states where the Secretary of State is still in charge of the Capitol Police. It's kind of strange. But on that front, I am a proud member of the Little Rock Police Academy, the Little Rock Citizens Police Academy. So I am a community liaison and a citizens police officer. So
That's
cool.
Explain to the people what that means.
So I went through an 8-week program to be kind of a community liaison between the police department and, you know, the community at large. So, you know, you learn about basic training of what the police go through. And then you also, it's more of a ambassador type role, I guess, between the community and the police.
Let me turn into MAGA Dutch. So what that means what that means then is that you
not the accent.
they got rid of the real police. They put you out there with a soy latte told you to go break up some crime, and the crime rates went through the roof. Now that's what happened now.
No, but I will say
probably a lesbian.
I gotta give a shout out to the Little Rock Police Department. Being very proactive about reaching out to different communities. You know, like I'm pretty plugged into the Asian American community, and they were trying to get more folks from different communities, Black community, Asian community, Hispanic community, to be plugged in with the police department to just establish that relationship and that rapport, so that when something does go down in the community, you have someone you could call that can kind of point you in the right direction.
Do they do any implicit bias training in that police department?
They do.
Good.
They do. I got to speak to a group of their cadets, and I was very impressed with the diversity of their new group of cadets. Very, very impressed. I mean, they had people from all backgrounds, walks of life, men, women, you know, every ethnicity I could think of. I was very impressed. They've been going out of their way to make their department more diverse and have that cultural competency. But I'm glad you brought that up, because poll worker training, sadly enough, has no cultural competency or cultural sensitivity. There's no training there. And actually in 2019, my mom got racially profiled and they weren't going to let her vote. Like, we went to go vote together, and I walk up and I pull out my ID, and the poll worker says, oh, I know who you are. You're Commissioner Price. I don't need to see your ID. I'm like, yeah, you do. That's the law. So I show it to him, and then I go through. I turn around. My mom's at the other line, and she's stuck. And she waves at me. I go over. I'm like, Mom, what's going on? She said, I showed my driver's license. They found me in the poll book. But now they said they want to see my passport to make sure I'm an American citizen. And I'm like, no. Like, that's not legal. Like, if you're in the poll book, you showed an ID. Like, you're clearly registered to vote. You're in the book. They should just let you through. So I had to get on to them and say, that's not the law, y'all. And they're just like, oh, we're sorry. We didn't know this was your mom. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's my mom. You're not supposed to do that. So,
right.
Like, how often is this happening, that people are being turned away from the polls, being asked for additional information? And I put that out there on Twitter. And I had a lady from Arkansas who's Muslim say that she's been turned away from the polls because she's wearing a hijab. They're like, you can't vote here. Turned her away. So there's no cultural competency training. And that's something that I want to bring to the table as well, because, you know, if you're not a minority, sometimes you're not thinking about that. And with my mom being an immigrant, I'm thinking about things that maybe other people aren't. And we need to have that training, because nobody should ever be turned away from the polls.
That's so crazy. Like, I wouldn't even consider your mom an immigrant, because she's been here like so long.
72.
You know what I mean? Like, and she's been here for 50 years. You're not an immigrant at that point. You're more. She's been in America way longer than I have. You know what I mean? Like,
people judge based on the first 2 seconds of when they see someone, and that's just what they do. Anna, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask?
Yeah, I did want to ask Josh, just while you were describing that incident, the same thing has happened to my parents, not, you know, immigrant, obviously, but just because they were Black. And I wanted to ask, do you think it would be feasible for there to be some type of complaint system or mechanism for if a registered voter is turned away, they could go say, hey, like, I'm registered, here's my voter, at least in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, they give you like a number or some type of card or something. Yeah, you can input that and then input your experience or what poll you went to or like what polling district you went to. Do you think that would be a good idea, or do you think that would have unintended consequences? Because I wouldn't want to put the election workers themselves at risk, but also there has to be some accountability, or could there be?
Yeah, so there is sort of a mechanism in place for that. I don't know how it goes from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but for me, I mean, people would literally call me. So I had my personal cell phone number on our website, and I'm like, hey, if you have a problem, call me. And people would call me all the time, and I would talk to the poll worker. I'm like, put the poll worker on the phone, and we'd try to troubleshoot the problem. Now, that's not always feasible, especially in a county that has 267,000 registered voters. I mean, I'm just one person, but I think that we could definitely put in a mechanism for that. The Democratic Party of Arkansas had a voter protection hotline that people could call, but and you could also call your county clerks. They had people on standby. They actually hired, I think, like in Pulaski County, like 100 people that they could kind of troubleshoot your issues. But, my major problem with that, and it's all good, I mean, but a lot of times you don't recognize the problem until after the fact. Like, if you go to vote on election day and you get turned away and then you don't come back, well, you could file a complaint, but end of the day, you didn't get the vote.
Right.
Right. Like, you didn't get the vote.
Right.
And there's you could file a complaint afterwards, but it's kind of like it's already said and done.
Wait another 4 years.
Vote. Come back in 4 years and vote. And who knows if they will or not. There is a protocol that in Pulaski County, if you felt like your vote was thrown out wrongfully, because you get a letter saying, hey, your vote was not counted for whatever reason, you weren't registered, or we think you voted twice, or, you know, whatever. We already saw your name in there. You could come to the election commission office. There was a certain day where we had a hearing, and you could plead your case. And then the commissioners could decide to count your vote or not count your vote. And we ended up counting a couple votes that it was not the fault of the voter. It was actually like a mistake within the clerk's office or with the Secretary of State's office that, you know, like, their name was Joe Smith Jr. and then Joe Smith Sr. was their father. And, like, you know, they were turned away. Just like, you already voted. And they're like, no, I didn't. That's my dad. We have the same name. So there were a couple instances like that. But I think there needs to be a better mechanism in place for filing those complaints and making sure you could address it in a timely manner so that that person can still vote. Because I hate to see anybody turned away from voting. I talked to a random person the other day, and he told me that him and his wife went to go vote, and they were told they were at the wrong location and they needed to drive somewhere else. And by the time they got over there, the line was so long, they just gave up and they ended up not voting. And I hate to hear that anybody's, American right to vote is being suppressed and repressed like that, where they just don't take advantage of it. That's disenfranchising voters.
Like, I get that they want to, like, in an organized fashion, like, have, okay, this group of people, you guys vote here, 'cause that's closest for y'all. Right. Y'all are down here on this side of the street. Y'all vote at this one. But at the same time, ain't your whole job, this what you're doing all day, is just to take votes? Right. I'm on the ledger. Let me in. Like, what's the issue? It shouldn't be an issue. Like, you're a vote taker. And it shouldn't, I don't know. Maybe that's just a thing in my head. And maybe there's like a reason behind why that's not a good idea to let people vote wherever.
But, well, we're actually moving from precinct voting, is what you're talking about, where you have to vote at a certain precinct, to vote centers where you can vote at any location. But the problem with that is that people have to drive further. So, like, that 21 locations down to 4, well, those are all 4 vote centers. You could vote at any 4, but the closest one's gonna be 20, 30 miles away. So that's still voter suppression. It's like anyone could vote there, but it's far away. So what we ended up doing in Pulaski County, and we kind of had to do it out of necessity because we didn't have enough money to buy enough machines to do all vote centers, but we had a hybrid system. So we had 12 early voting locations that stayed open on election day and anybody could vote there. So these 12 locations, anybody could vote there, no matter where you live. But on election day, we also had 108 precincts. So you had your option of I could vote at my local church where I always vote or my local library, or I could vote at any of these 12 locations all over the county. If I work downtown, I could just vote downtown or right. You know, whatever. If I drive by this location, it doesn't look busy, I could vote there. So people literally had 12 plus one, their precinct. So 13 options on election day. And I thought that worked out pretty well. And I don't see why that can't be replicated all across the state. You know, people like their options.
Right. What say you for at least in Arkansas making election day a holiday?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It should definitely be a holiday. I'm behind that all the way.
That and the day after Super Bowl. Let's get it done.
Stop it. No one watched your boring Super Bowl with your drug dealing Snoop Dogg on screen.
And Mary J. Blige half naked.
Shaking it in her boots.
You brought up the fact that you need voter ID in Arkansas. So what are your thoughts on voter ID in general? I mean, like and Anna, any thoughts that you have on this as well, like from the legality standpoint? I'm kind of the mind that's like, I think I'm okay with it, but I think everybody should have an ID for enough for free. Right. You know,
100%. The way I said, if it's the law in Arkansas, the legislator said it is what it is. You have to have a photo ID. But are we making sure everybody can have access to a photo ID? Because you think again about seniors who don't drive. You know, if you're 80, 90 years old, you're in a wheelchair, you don't drive. So why would you have a photo ID? Like, why would you have a driver's license? You wouldn't. So are we making sure that people have access to these photo IDs? So people don't know this, but in Arkansas, you can get a free photo ID from your clerk's office. And people literally don't know this because in Pulaski County, it's 400,000 people. There are 6 IDs issued by the clerk. 6.
You gotta be kidding me.
People don't know that you could do this. So I have an idea, great idea. I'm gonna partner with after I win, I'm gonna partner with the public library system. We're gonna utilize their mobile bookmobiles. We're gonna call them voter vans. We're gonna travel the state.
I like it.
Register to vote, update your signature, update your last name if you got married or divorced, and get you a free photo ID if you don't have one. And we're gonna meet you. We're gonna come to you where you are. It'll be on the schedule. You can check the website. We're going to have flyers that we'll send out to the community. We'll put it in the paper. Hey, we're going to be at your community center on these days. We're going to be at your assisted living facility, your school, your college, and we are going to get you registered to vote. And if you don't have a photo ID, we're going to come to you with a tablet. If we have to go to your room at the assisted living facility because you're not mobile, we're going to come to you and take your picture and get your information, and we're going to process your photo ID and send it to you in 1 to 2 weeks. And if everybody has a photo ID, then it's not a problem, right?
So, see, Dutch, this is what he does. See, he gets into office and then he closes the door behind him so no one else can get elected. Oh, wait, he's making it easier for more people to vote after him.
No.
But see, harder for people to vote after him.
Yeah, it's but you weird. See what it is? You're missing it, okay? You're missing what he's doing here now.
Oh, what's the?
He's only going to the Democrat areas, the minority areas.
You know what we're doing? I want every Arkansan 18 and up to have a free photo ID, period.
In your face, Dutch. In your face. They're all going to have IDs. They're going to be taunting you with them.
Right?
I'm sorry, say again?
Then they could also go out and buy liquor and cigarettes because they've got a photo ID now.
Yeah, there you go. See, that's it's a win-win. Anna,
is it still 18 in Arkansas?
For liquor?
Yeah.
No, it's 20. And cigarettes is 18.
Yeah, it's 21 for both up here now in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anna, last question. Oh, actually, we have a question from the chat as well. So two questions for you, Josh.
All right.
Go ahead, Anna.
Anna, you first.
Sorry, am I reading the question from the chat? I forgot my question.
No.
I thought he had a great answer. Well, my question.
We'll read the question from... Oh, did you want to add anything to the voter ID
That's fantastic. I think that that's a huge part of the problem is that sometimes people don't actually have the prerequisites to even get to vote in the first place. So even if you aren't disenfranchised, maybe you're disqualified by another regulatory scheme, which is, you know, photo identification, proper photo identification, what qualifies as identification. In some states, you don't have to have a photo ID, but you have to have the voter card.
Yeah,
that is issued to you. So that can be problematic because they mail it to you. It's a piece of paper. You know what I mean? You don't use it that often unless you're voting in every single election, which a lot of people don't. So I think that getting people photo IDs is ideal and making sure that people have access to that, not just for voting, but for a whole bunch of other. I mean, you need your ID to really get around. So.
Right. And, you know, it was so sad because we had so many seniors. Again, the vast majority of those votes that were thrown out were seniors, people with disabilities, and believe it or not, active military, like on duty in Afghanistan or Iraq, because they would sign on a digital tablet and then their digital signature was being compared to their wet signature, which, of course, isn't going to match because it's pixelated. So their vote would get thrown out. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, like, they're clearly vetted. They're in the army and they're like in Iraq right now. Like, it's a military ballot. I don't understand.
We love the military, except when we don't love the military.
Have we considered putting a small computer chip inside each person?
That's the mark of the beast.
Gonna scare them off. But to Anna's point, we had so many seniors that would send in a copy of their Medicare card or like their you know, their medical insurance or their utility bill. Like they're trying to send you something, but they just didn't have a photo ID. And then their vote would get thrown out.
Yeah. From the chat, Mikey.
Speaking from the center ads. Thank you, Tim. What is your position on public financing of elections, clean elections programs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think public financing of elections is a good idea. You know, I'm not a fan of dark money at all. And it worries me that you have folks that get elected and they've got all this dark money, corporate money. You don't know where their money's coming from. Even some of the so the Secretary of State's office is where all the candidates file their finance reports. So I go in there and I look because I've got competitors. So I look at their finance reports and there's like all these unitemized donations and things like that. That's just a little iffy to me. You know, I itemize everything. If somebody gives me $5, I itemize it. So I think that if we could have some public funding of elections or public financing from elections, we could hopefully clean that up a little bit. I'd rather know where all my candidates' money is coming from. And I think that it would be, we would have a more fair democracy if people were running on their merit versus who raised the most money from, I don't know where this money came from, you know, because unfortunately, you know, money talks and, you know, you see people that raise millions of dollars and they're able to run all these fancy ads and things like that, but they really don't have the experience or they really don't have the qualifications. They don't have a plan, but they just are able to raise a bunch of money. And I think it would help the quote unquote little guy or the underdog that maybe has been doing the work, does have the qualifications, does have the knowledge and experience, but just doesn't have the ability to raise all that money because they don't have a lot of rich friends. I'd like to see less elitism in government. Arkansas is an oligarchy. It's kind of always has been. You know, we've got a few rich families that run everything. And I think that we definitely need to find ways to help people who don't have access to all those resources run, especially if they could be good candidates. I mean, like Natalie James, you know, you've got people that are great candidates, but they don't come from rich families. They don't have rich friends. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to run and be competitive.
And I went back and looked. I do remember her. It was the time when it was when your internet went out.
Very convenient. Yes. Oh, you remember that. Okay. My internet's been crap for like the last month. Spectrum's going to get a very strongly worded call. Ooh. Speaking of money though, Josh, let's give Josh the full screen or the mostly full screen.
I have one more question though.
Oh, you do? Well, then go ahead and ask it.
This is a good one, a reoccurring one that we discovered last week. What's one thing we should know about your opponent?
They're the devil.
All right. So I've got...
Not me.
I've got three opponents. So which one are we talking about? We're talking about the incumbent?
Yes. Yes.
The incumbent, one thing, the incumbent, when he got elected, he spent $150,000 on the budget to buy new office furniture. I think that $150,000 could have been used in a lot better ways. I would have created 3 jobs at $50,000 a piece, which is good for Arkansas. And I would have created an Office of Voter Right Restoration to help former felons get their voting rights back after they've completed their sentences.
I don't know. I really just like making my entire office furniture out of Ferrari parts.
So how many, how many people, let me just be fair. How many people are in the office?
Oh, well, there's the main office. I think maybe has just a handful, maybe like 5 or 6, but then there's like all the people that work in like that work in the basement of the Capitol, technically work for the Secretary of State filing stuff. But this was for like the main office to make it fancy. And
so $150,000 for 5-6 people. That's a little bit too much per person.
Oh, no, it was just for him. It was just for his office.
Oh, it was
his
just office. For him?
Yes. His office.
Oh, it's okay. Cause like, I just want to make sure I'm being fair, right? Like, cause if it's for 75 people to have new cubes and chairs, that's different than him having cubes.
It was for luxury, fancy office furniture for his office, including a $5,000 espresso and latte machine.
Oh, I need a Bugatti desk.
Right.
I deserve it.
I deserve it. The mahogany. Rich. I'm made of rich mahogany.
I like to treat myself.
All right. So now we will give Josh the big screen. Josh, tell the people how they can find and support your campaign.
All right. Check me out at joshforarkansas.com. I'm on social media at joshforarkansas on, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we're starting to do a little TikTok now, too. But just help spread the word. Arkansas is, again, not a red state. It's a non-voting state. I've done virtual events with candidates that are running for Secretary of State in Georgia and other states. And I think Arkansas is a sleeper state. We can get people out, turn them out to vote, flip Arkansas blue. And I think it could really be an encouragement to the rest of the country, to the rest of the South, to follow suit. So don't give up on Arkansas. We've got some great people fighting hard for voting rights here in Arkansas. Arkansas was a blue state for 137 years. It birthed Bill Clinton. It can be a blue state again. But we need your help because we are not a rich state. We are the 49th poorest state. We are not a California or New York. We need that coastal money. And every little bit helps spread our message to get out the vote and to get folks registered all across the state. So if you could help out, please help out. Let's turn Arkansas blue again, y'all. And let's protect the right to vote.
It was nice.
Beautiful.
It was a clean take.
We had Dr. Owens on the show from running in Georgia for her Secretary of State. So Mikey doesn't remember him either.
I'm glad you show up every week or else I wouldn't know your ass either.
Mikey, since we're talking about money real quick, before we give Josh the choice to stay or leave, do we have anything else money related that we'd like to ask about?
Sure. We can ask for a couple of coins. This little guy is zero. He is a Maltese Shih Tzu mix. He's 4 years old. And if our Patreon doesn't go up, I swear to God, I'm throwing all of his toys away. All of them. I threaten with the food, and that's probably a little ethical. I got him food he doesn't like. It's healthy. So he doesn't like his food. Tap water only, no more bottled stuff, and all of his toys are going in the blender this evening. Unless you guys go to patreon.com/digonamerica and just throw a couple dollars in the hat. And then the good boy can be told he's a good boy. Oh, that's the other thing I cut off. I don't tell him he's a good boy anymore. Sorry. Not until we hit our goal. And then once we hit our $100 goal, we're going to take a third of that and donate it to a list of charities that are posted on the Patreon. So that's patreon.com/digonamerica.
Dig on America.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Proof the deep state is real in America.
The media said what? Ha, ha, ha.
Patently false fake news.
Your organization's terrible. This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Want to have a rousing discussion about truth, honor, patriotism?
The end of the Republic has never looked better.
They be fighting the power, talking about social issues, politics, you know what I'm saying?
Three punches.
I enjoy Big Hoss.
And I'm smoking my cigar, of course.
Am I allowed to talk?
No, not right now.
You crazy Dutch bastard!
Mikey, you're getting a bit upset here.
Mikey, you can edit.
My favorite podcast.
Kick names, take ass.
There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble.
Now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
Big on America.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Carol.
And we're the hosts of Retro Late Fee. We are stuck in 1994.
And we can't get out.
We're watching all the movies and TV shows that you probably remember, I guess. Somehow we're speaking to you through some kind of time portal.
Right.
Join us every week for great movies and TV shows from 25 years ago.
It's fun, I swear.
Hey, come back.
Big on America.